الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وعليكم السلام ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد All praises due to Allah and as such we praise Him We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم His companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment As to what follows, continuing with the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, in particular, Surah Al-Baqarah verse 178. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتلى الحر بالحر والعبد بالعبد والأنثى بالأنثى فمن عفي له من أخيه شيء فاتباع بالمعروف فاتباع بالمعروف وأداء إليه بإحسان ذلك تخفيف من ربكم ورحمة فمن اعتدى بعد ذلك فله عذاب أليم ولكم في القصاص حياة يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تتقون Someone kindly read the interpretation of the meaning in English for verses 178 and 179 please loudly
To believe the laws of equality in punishment is to strike for you in a case of murder. The free of the free, the slain for the slain, the female for the female. But if the killer is forgiven by the brothers of the relatives of the killed against blood man, then adhering to each experiment and payment of the blood man, so that there should be made an appearance. This is an admission and the mercies from your law. So, after this, whoever transgresses the limits, after taking the blood money, he shall be a painful torment.
One more. There's one more ayah, 179.
And there is a saving of life for you in Al-Kitab, the law of equality in the punishment. All men of understanding, that you may have become Al-Muttaqoon, the pious.
Barakallahu fiqh. Yaqul al-Shaykh rahimahullah, يمتن تعالى على عباده المؤمنين بأنه فرض عليهم القصاص في القتلى أي المساواة فيه Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains his slaves the believing slaves of his concerning his favor that he made obligatory upon them al-qisas Qisas is basically when one does a particular crime then he is treated accordingly Same, as they say. So he does that, you know, he cuts someone, he gets cut. Equality in punishment. That's what it is. أي مساوفي meaning being equal in that. وأن يقتل أن يقتل القاتل على الصفة التي قتل عليها المقتول. And that the killer is killed in the same manner that he killed the other person. Okay? إقامة للعدل والقسط بين العباد in order to establish justice and equality between the slaves وتوجيه الخطاب لعموم المؤمنين فيه دليل على أنه يجب عليهم كلهم حتى أولياء القاتل حتى القاتل بنفسه and the fact that Allah عز وجل addressed all of the believers he generalized and he addressed all the believers this indicates that it is compulsory upon all of them even the family and the family members of the killer or even the killer himself should bring himself to justice I have done you know such and such because he is addressed among the believers and Allah commanded us to kutiba alaykum it was prescribed for you we know this from another ayah of siyam huh ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam it has been prescribed meaning it is obligatory without any doubt this is from the one of the strongest means of indicating obligation this kutiba written طيب so this is written upon them إعانة ولي المقتول إذا طلب القصاص to help the family members or the protectors the wali is the one who is the caretaker guardian or sort of things of this nature of the one who was killed in order to attain قصاص this equal the right of equality ويمكنه من القاتل and he should let him get a hold of the killer وأنه لا يجوز لهم أن يحولوا بين هذا الحد, and that it is not permissible for them to try to eliminate or to try to stop this particular punishment, as it happened, you know, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where a woman from among the noble tribes stole. And in Islam, if you steal a particular amount of money, where the money, I mean, there are conditions. It's not as people think right now. For example, you have this email that often circulates among the Muslims, from among the non-Muslims, where they show in Iran a young boy, you know, probably looks like he's a three-year-old boy. They have his hand, you know, under a truck, right? They have him all held in, and his hand is under a truck, and the truck is about to run his hand over in order to cut it, supposedly. And they mention that he stole some bread or some, you know, oranges from the blah blah blah. And it says at the end of the email, circulate this to the whole world so they will know the Muslims. Now this is what the Muslims do. They bring a three-year-old boy and make a truck run over his arm because he stole some bread or some oranges from a store. This in Islam is incorrect. If somebody left his phone here and somebody stole it, his hand would not be cut off. I must have it hidden in the drawer with a lock, and someone must be a professional thief, huh? Come with, you know, these you know, safety pins or whatever, and he start playing with the lock. Somebody who's a professional robber. This is the one who, if somebody left something negligently outside, the ruling is not applicable. If the amount does not reach a particular, if it's something, you know that is not important, the ruling is not applicable. If the person is in a particular situation where he works for someone and that person hasn't been giving him his money, the ruling will not apply. So there are conditions that the fuqaha mentioned, and it is not as they make it seem. And surely it cannot be done with having a truck run him over. It must be cut off according to the Islamic way. A truck running over is going to break his arm. It's not going to be cut off. So all this is in the nonsense that they try to, you know, accuse Muslims of. But once you have knowledge, when they send you this email, you can easily refute that. So if you ever get this email, email me. I'll email you a long refutation, which proves, yani, that this is not na'. I'm sorry?
Ahmad
Because of the situation, yes. So they take into consideration the individual, the circumstances, everything. It's not just arbitrary like that. Wallahi, he cut off, took one riyal, yalla, bring him over and cut off his arm. So alhamdulillah, there are rules and regulations which, if we understand, problem is solved. Now. ويمنع الولي من الاقتصاص كما عليه عادة الجاهلية ومن أشباهه. A. Continuing with the hadith that I was quoting. So when this happened, this noble woman among the Qurayshis stole, Usama ibn Zayd came to the Prophet ﷺ. They sent him because they knew of his relationship with him, and said, go intercede with the Messenger of Allah to let this woman go. Huh? And she's one of the noble people. Thereupon the Prophet ﷺ became very angry, and he would never get angry when the issue was concerning his own personal being, but he would get angry whenever it involved Allah's right. He became angry. He said, this is exactly what the Jews used to do. If one among the nobles committed a crime, they let it go. If one among the regular people committed a crime, they will implement the punishment. Then he said, by Allah, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, was to steal, السلام, I will cut off her arm. If my own daughter was to steal, I will cut off her arm. Meaning, this is the rule of Allah. There is no negotiation in this particular case. Once everything has been established, again, so alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. 9:45. Okay, we'll remember this next week, inshallah. Al-Muhim. The Shaykh said, and they should not prevent the wali, as it was the case in the time of Jahiliyyah, and those who are of their likes, where they would, you know, they will give protection to the killer. You know, the serial killer would be living in some, you know, some household where they protect him from the society, and then he moves on. This was done in Jahiliyyah, cannot be done in Islam. It's an obligation on all to bring this person to justice. Now, ثم بين تفصيل ذلك فقال الحر بالحر يدخل بمنطوقها الذكر بالذكر والأنثى بالأنثى والأنثى بالذكر والذكر بالأنثى. The Sheikh said then Allah Azza wa Jal detailed what is intended. So he said the free person for the free person. Right? Is that how they have it translated? الحر بالحر, they have it free person?
No, free person.
Hey, the first one.
Free for the,
that's what it is. Okay, alhamdulillah. The Sheikh said, understood in the context from the wording, the free for the free is the male for the male and the female for the female and the female for the male and the male for the female. Whoever is considered to be hir during that time, then this is applicable to them, and that could be males or females. So Islam does not make a distinction in the sense where if a woman killed a man, you say, wallah, she's a woman, يعني معلش, huh? Let her go. Or the other way around. Is that clear? So this is applicable all across the board. Anyone who gets involved in this, and you know, there's nothing that prevents the punishment from being carried out, then it's applicable to all.
No exception.
فيقول منطوقها مقدما على مفهوم قوله الأنثى بالأنثى مع دلالة السنة أن الذكر يقتل بالأنثى. So the Sheikh said, so then the wording or the context is to be given precedence over the understanding that will come after in the ayah, the female for the female, along with the sunnah indicating that the male is to be killed for the female. وخرج من عموم هذا الأبوان وإن علوا فلا يقتلان بالولد لورود السنة بذلك. An exception to that is the parents, and even if they are alaw, يعني even if they are the grandparents, because in Islam the father and the mother and the grandfather and the grandmother and their grand, يعني so on, they're considered to be one in essence. You follow me? So the grandfather is like the father when it comes to the issues of rulings of this nature. So then if a grandfather was to kill his grandson, for instance, then he would not be killed. He will not be killed because the Sunnah had made an exception in that area. Don't get your brain involved, huh? And say why? Why if it's this they get killed, and why if it's a relative they don't get? This is none of our business. Okay, our minds may understand or may not understand. If you want to get a logical answer, there is a logical answer, because no one is more merciful to a boy or a girl than their own parents or their grandparents. So for that to take place is an indication that something must have been extremely wrong, right? And so then this, the Shari'ah understands that, and so this makes sense that it's not as killing a stranger. Killing a stranger is not killing one's son. So the exception then, if parents kill their child, or grandparents kill their child, or the grand-grandparents kill whoever's below them, then the ruling is not applicable, which is being killed in return. Everybody's following me. طيب. We'll see what the Shaykh mentions. Allahu A'lam. مع أن في قول القصاص ما يدل أنه ليس من العدل أن يقتل الوالد يقتل الوالد بولده, ولأن ما في قلب الوالد من الشفقة والرحمة ما يمنعه من القتل لولده إلا بسبب اختلال في عقله أو أذية شديدة جدا من الولد له. The Sheikh said, even though يعني the word قصاص by itself indicates that it is not part of justice that the father is killed for the death of his son, because we know what kind of love and compassion the father will have towards his son. So much so that the only reason why he would ever kill him is either because of some mental-ish problem, you know, psychological problem, something along these lines, or extreme harm that he receives from that boy. You know, he's harmed, you know, in a very strong way, so he reacts in this particular way. وخرج من العموم أيضا الكافر بالسنة مع أن الآية في خطاب المؤمنين خاصة. And excluded also is the disbeliever based on the sunnah, even though the ayah already is addressing the believers strictly. وأيضا فليس من العدل أن يقتل ولي الله بعدوه, because it's not part of justice that you kill the friend of Allah because of the enemy of Allah. This is the enemy of Allah. Not that it is permissible, but the person is not killed. Now we're dealing with rulings here. You know, Allah mentioned in the Quran that whoever kills a person without right, it's as if he killed all of humanity. So it is by no means justified going out killing people. But does that person get killed in case he kills the kafir? No. He doesn't get killed. But he's still entitled to enter Jahannam. and to be punished by Allah. He has still committed a major crime. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يزال المؤمن بفتحة من دينه ما لم يصب دما حراما أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The believer will remain within the margins of his religion as long as he does not spill any blood unlawfully. Once you get into the area of killing people unlawfully, whether Muslims or non-Muslims, then you are on the verge of leaving Islam altogether because of the dangers associated with that. So, na'am. وَالْعَبْدُ بِالْعَبْدُ ذَكَرًا كَانَ وَأُنْثَى تَسَوَتْ قِيَمُهُمَا أَوْ اخْتَلَفَتْ. And the slave for the slave, be it a male or a female, whether they are equal in value or they are different. وَدَلَّ بِمَفْهُومِهِمَا عَلَى أَنَّ الْحُرْ لَا يُقْتَلْ بِالْعَبْدِ لِكَوْنِ غَيْرِ مُسَاوٍ لَهُ. And we understand from the context that the free person is not to be killed for the death of a slave because they are not equal. وَالْأُنْثَى بِالْأُنْثَى and the female for the female. أَخَذَ بِمَفْهُومِهَا بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ فَلَمْ يَجِزْ قَتْلَ الرَّجُلْ بِالْمَرْأَةِ وَتَقَدَّمَ وَجْهُ ذَلِكَ. And some of them said that because of this, that a man may not be killed because of a woman, but the Shaykh said we've already explained that this is not the case. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْأَصْلَ وُجُوبُ الْقُوْدِ فِي الْقَتْلِ وَأَنَّ الدِّيَةَ بَدَلًا عَنْهُ. This ayah has the principle that the asl is that we should carry out the execution. Executing the murderer, the killer. This is the asl. And that the blood money is a second option, is a substitute, is not the first thing that is discussed. First thing is taking this person's life away accordingly. That's why Allah says, فَلْيَبَقَ فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٍ. So whoever's been pardoned by his brother, أي عفى ولي المقتول عن القاتل إلى الدية. Meaning the guardian of the deceased, the one who was murdered, he forgives the killer. Huh? And he says, I will accept blood money. This is the other option. So the asal is, he is brought to justice. His life is to be taken. If the guardians of the deceased, the one who was murdered, all of them agree that this person, we don't want him alive anymore. He killed our whatever relative, we want him to be killed, this is right. They may say, Ma'alish, they may understand the situation or feel otherwise or whatever they assume, they may need money and say it's okay, we don't want this person, then have mercy on him. We don't want him to be killed, we will accept blood money in return. Meaning money for the dead, for the blood of the dead, the one who was killed. أو عفى بعض الأولياء فإن يسقط القصاص وتجب الدية. Or even some, it doesn't have to be a unanimous agreement of all of the أولياء, the relatives of the deceased. If some of them do, and now there's a dispute, then the qisas may not be implemented. So maybe there has to be an agreement from all of the relatives of the murderer that they want this person to be killed accordingly. Otherwise, no more qisas, no more execution, rather blood money. Blood money. طيب, جميل. وتكون الخيرة في القود واختيار الدية إلى الولي. Now that choice, whether to carry out the execution or to accept blood money, is something that is made, a decision that is made by the wali, the guardian of the deceased, the close relatives of the deceased. فإذا عفى عنه وجب على الولي أي ولي المقتول أن يتبع القاتل. So if he forgives them, it becomes an obligation أن يتبع القاتل بالمعروف غير أي وأي. It becomes an if he accepts, then it becomes an obligation on the one, the relative of the deceased, to keep up with the killer, asking him for the right. If they agree that they're going to pay money instead, then he has to remind him, and they have to have an agreement in terms of the amount. Then he has to follow up with him بالمعروف, meaning with goodness. من غير أن يشق عليه ولا يحمله ما لا يطيق, without making things difficult for him, nor making him bear more than he can scope. Not overburdening him within limitations. And don't tell him, give me the money now. There must be some lenience and ease. أيوة. بل يحسن الاقتضاء والطلب ولا يحرج. Rather he asks for his right and for his payment with in goodness, and he does not put him in a difficult situation. وعلى القاتل أداء إليه بإحسان. And for the killer, he has to fulfill and to fulfill that payment with goodness as well. So goodness from the one requiring money and goodness from the one paying money. من غير مطل ولا نقص ولا إساءة فعلية أو قولية. Without delaying, no unnecessary, you know, delays in the payment, or without deficiency in the amount, and without any harmful, whether anything harmful, whether verbal or action. فهل جزاء الإحسان إلا بالعفو إليه بالعفو إلا الإحسان بحسن القضاء. Is there any reward that is acceptable concerning the one who pardoned you, except that you pay him back with goodness? يعني you were supposed to be killed, and he told you, معلش, we will not have you killed, we'll take money. It's only fair that you fulfill his right with goodness, and the guy spared your life at the end of the day. وهذا مأمور به في كل ما ثبت في ذمم الناس. للإنسان مأمور من له الحق بالاتباع بالمعروف ومن عليه الحق بالأداء بالإحسان. And this actually is all across the board concerning the children of Adam. The one who has a right has to ask in a particular way, and the one who is supposed to fulfill a right has to do it in goodness. يعني this is a general rule. وفي قوله من عفي له من أخيه ترقيق وحث على العفو إلى الدية وأحسن من ذلك العفو مجانا. وعليكم السلام. And in the statement of Allah, so whoever has been pardoned by his brother is means of softening the heart and encouragement from Allah to pardon the person and accept the blood money. And even better than that, nothing. Say, I don't want you to be killed, and I don't want the money either. Go ma'a salam. That's the ultimate. يعني the ultimate goodness that one may do. Of course, not everybody can do that, and depends on the situation. But at times, this is the case. Now, the ulama say, I remember Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen in one of his tapes in Sharh Juz'u Amma, he mentioned that afu, pardoning, is not always the best choice. There are times where that should not be the case. For example, if someone steals or someone kills for the first time, okay, and he is known for being a good person, a person of good character, but he went through some phase or so on and so forth, because of the situation he wind up killing. طيب, in this case, it is good to pardon. But if you have a serial killer who knows, you know, for just killing people, at this point, pardoning is not recommended. Because by pardoning him, you've given him room to continue to do this. Rather, it may become obligatory that the had is carried out against him. You see what I'm saying? So the afdal, that pardoning is the best. But this is situational. If the person involved deserves punishment because of his negligence or recklessness, then in this case, then you carry out the punishment against him, and pardoning is not applicable in this particular case. It is not recommended. Now, وفي قوله أخي دليل عن أن القاتل لا يكفر. And Allah says, whoever's been pardoned by his brother, he said, this is an indication that if one kills, he doesn't become a kafir. Otherwise, he cannot be called a brother. And this is يعني very important when you deal with the issue of abandoning the salah. And why the ulama are of the opinion that the one who does not pray, even if it's because out of laziness, is a kafir. Is a kafir. Because Allah says concerning the munafiqeen, فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَوا الزَّكَاةِ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. If they repent to Allah and establish prayer and pay the zakah, then they are your brothers in faith. And the ulama understood, if they don't do the salah and pay the zakah and repent, they're not brothers in faith. And Allah denied brotherhood between them. So that means they were not believers at the time of abandoning the salah. This is one of the verses used as evidence. There are too many in the Quran and too many narrations, clear like the sun, that the one who doesn't pray is not a Muslim. If somebody embraces Islam and says, wallah, you know, praying right now, you know, it's kind of difficult for me 5 times a day, you know, to have to go to the masjid and so on and so forth. If he does not begin to establish a prayer, he has apostated. He has left Islam just like he entered. and rulings of Islam are not applicable to him. If he were to die, we will not do ghusl for him, nor will we pray janazah, nor will we bury him with the Muslims. Rather, he'll be thrown away somewhere far, so we will protect the people from the stench of the harm that they will get from a smell. But he's not to be considered among the Muslims. He's not inherited, and those don't inherit him, and you don't say rahmah for them or maghfirah, none of that stuff. If somebody dies without praying. Okay, now yes, other ulama are of the opinion that the one who doesn't pray out of laziness is still a Muslim, but he's a fasiq, he's a defiantly disobedient Muslim. But really, the verses in the Quran are strong. You know, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا. What does the ayah say in Surah Al-Mursalat? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. What does the ayah have to say? If it is said to them, bow, they would bow not. The next ayah, come on, your brothers. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe that day to the deniers. So Allah called the one who's told to make ruku', pray, and he doesn't pray, denier, denying the whole thing. Woe to him on the day of judgment. Right? قَالُوا مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What made you enter Jahannam? The first thing they said, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not among those who used to pray. فَقَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. Then they were preceded by a generation who abandoned the salah and they chased their desires. Verily they shall receive a punishment. Ghayya is a valley in Jahannam. Then Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنْ. Except the one who repents and he believes. Meaning at the time of abandoning the salah, there was no belief. So that, you see, these are some of the verses that are used besides the hadith, الْعَهْدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ مَنْ تَرَكَ فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Rasulullah said, the covenant between us and them is salah. Whoever abandons it has disbelieved. You know, and many other narrations. So be careful of ever becoming a lousy Muslim. You know, one of these part-time, people who pray sometimes and they don't pray at other times, and you know, they take the situation easy. And under that is the Salatul Fajr. You know, if you're, you know, one of these people who deliberately sleeps for Salatul Fajr, then you are in essence abandoning the Salah, at least at that particular point. And then you are endangering yourself of leaving Islam by not praying. Yani someone who knows that, you know, if I continue to watch TV till 3 in the morning and then I go to sleep, I will not be able to wake up for the Salah. He knows, even if he put the alarm on. Some people, their sleep is heavy. And he continues, knowing that this will mean he will miss Salatul Fajr. This is in danger. Sheikh Babas says he's outside of Islam if he misses the Salah, deliberately. Unlike the one who puts on the alarm and tells his wife and his children to wake him up, and it just doesn't work for him, then, you know, this is another situation. But we're talking about negligence. So there's no excuse. Al-Muhim, Allah said, أخيه, meaning the one who commits murder, does not become a disbeliever. لأن المراد بالأخوة هنا أخوة الإيمان فلم يخرج بالقتل منها. Because what is intended in this context is the brotherhood of faith. So killing or murdering does not make the person leave the circle of brotherhood of faith. ومن باب أولى أن سائر المعاصي التي هي دون الكفر لا يكفر بها فاعلها وإنما ينقص بذلك إيمانه. And more so in the case of other sins that are below kufr, that do not constitute disbelief, then the doer is not a kafir either. And verily, it's only what it will do to him is it will make his iman deficient. It will decrease his iman. وَإِذَا عَفَى أَوْلِيَاءُ الْمَقْتُولِ أَوْ عَفَى بَعْضُهُمْ احْتَقَنَ دَمُ الْقَاتِلِ وَصَارَ مَعْصُومًا مِنْهُمْ وَمِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ. And if the awliya of the one who was murdered pardon, or some of them pardon the killer, then his blood will become protected from them and from others. So if the police come and say, no, we're going to take this matter into our own hands. A person kills someone. Of course, in a Muslim country, in a non-Muslim country, this nobody's going to care about them. In a Muslim country, if somebody kills someone, okay, and now the family of the deceased have the right to get this person killed. If they say, we forgive him, the police police cannot come and say, no, no, we have a law, we're going to run the execution. They cannot do that. It's not their right. Because Allah gave him a right. If he's pardoned, then his blood is protected and no one has the right to spill it. Not the family who had already given him that freedom, nor any other agency or any other individuals. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَيْ بَعْدَ الْعَفُوْ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That's what Allah says. So whoever transgresses after that, meaning after that pardoning, they pardon this person. Whoever wants to transgress concerning the killer, فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, then verily for him is a severe torment. أي في الآخرة, meaning in the life to come. وَأَمَّا قَتْلُهُ وَعَدَمُهُ فَيُؤْخَذْ بِمَا مِمَّا تَقَدَّمْ لِأَنَّهُ قَتْلُ مُكَافِئًا لَهُ فَيَجِبُ قَتْلُهُ بِذَلِكَ. وأما من فسر العذاب الأليم بالقتل وأن الآية تدل على أنه يتعين قتله ولا يجوز العفو عنه, وذلك قال وبذلك قال بعض العلماء, والصحيح الأول لأن جناياته لا تزيد على جناية غيره. I don't know how to explain this in English. طيب, so we will ignore these three sentences. معلش. ثم بين تعالى حكمته العظيمة في مشروعية القصاص فقال. Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the great wisdom behind this ruling in Islam, قصاص, the equality in punishment, giving the right to the deceased by retracting that from the killer, from the murderer himself, or not even murderer, any other crime. Verily you have in that hayat, livelihood, life, goodness. أي تنحقن بذلك الدماء وتنقمع به الأشقياء. First, blood will be protected. Second, the wretched among the people will hold off. And in fact, if you were to look at the Western societies, you will see wonders. You know, the criminals over there, who they take to prison, and they basically spoil them in prison. In prison, you don't have to work to make money. You're eating, drinking. They have a gym. Huh? You see, if he goes into the prison, you know, skinny like this, he comes out. You know, big muscles and everything. Most of them, you know, wind up learning, getting even maybe a bachelor's degree in prison. They have all kinds of means facilitated for them. You know, they're living a lavish life on the taxes of the employees. You know, who are out free. So the prisoners live on the expense of the regular people. For what? For 10, 15 years, and then they're still stupid. As soon as they let them go, you hear, if you read the news, you'll be shocked. The very day they let them go, he goes out and he does it again. You know, after 15 years in prison, he robs the bank and he goes to prison for 15 years. The very next day he's out, you see him in the bank, you know, trying to rob a bank. Yani, these people are feeble-minded. And in the case of a killer, you know, at least in some countries, they always try to prove that this person was temporarily insane. Huh? So they bring all these doctors and they get everybody involved that this person is the damn of killing man, he lost his mind. Even though usually he is a very, you know, sharp individual. So they find a loophole, or they get a big Jewish lawyer who somehow will, you know, be able to find, you know, gaps, like the story of O.J. Simpson, right? You know, that was a very famous story. These funny things happen, and the idea is that this gives room for the person to keep his way. Whereas in Islam, when you know that if you kill someone, you will be killed, you're going to think 100 times before you do anything crazy like that, right? But they know over there that they will not be killed. Predominantly, they will not be killed. You know, they find a way out. So this becomes means. So then this is a deterrent. That's what it is. It deters people from being negligent in terms of the rights of the human beings. And the most virtuous and the most important is his own life, his own soul. So people will not be killing in this fashion, as it is, you know, the case in other countries where the Islamic law is not implemented. That's what you see here. Killing is not really a common thing, unlike all the rest of the countries in the world, where killing is a very common thing. So this is because the killer knows that he may be killed accordingly. لأن من عرف أنه مقتول إذا قتل لا يكاد يصدر منه القتل. Because the one who knows that he will be killed if he kills, it's very far-fetched that he will ever commit a murder. وإذا رؤي القاتل مقتولا انذعر بذلك غيره وانزجر. And if the people see that the killer has been killed, they will become, they will be troubled by that scene, and they will say, okay, you know what, I was going to kill someone, but I think I'm going to leave that alone, when they see the person being executed, you know, in front of the people.
فلو كانت عقوبة القاتل غير القتل لم يحصل انكفاف الشر الذي يحصل بالقتل.
So if the punishment for murder was other than the murderer is murdered, then we would have not had this privilege of decreasing the amount of murders. Is that clear? Which is what we were saying earlier.
نعم. وهكذا سائر الحدود الشرعية فيها من النكاية والانزجار ما يدل على حكمة الحكيم الغفار.
And similarly, we understand the other penal codes. Penal codes, يعني the hudud, the rulings where there's a punishment that is incurred upon the one who violates one of Allah's limitations. Some of them we have specific rulings, like the fornicator is lashed 100 lashes, and the adulterer is stoned to death. The thief's arm is cut off. The one who changes the religion is killed, and so on and so forth. So these are all hudud. All of them have this element of deterring and يعني of warning the people from transgression, which indicates the wisdom of the most wise, the most forgiving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beautiful thing about this, you know what the beautiful thing is? That if this punishment is carried out, it expiates the sin of the doer. If they repent, it expiates. Even without repentance, there's a discussion among the ulama that if the had is established against the person, he is no longer responsible for it on the day of judgment. So even in the case of the murderer or in the case of the fornicator, this becomes mercy to them, that they are punished in the dunya. You see what I'm saying? Because ultimately, they will not be held accountable for it in the day of judgment according to some of the ulama. This is great. If this is going to protect you from Jahannam, and you go to Jannah, even if you get punished in the dunya, what's the big deal? You know, people are being punished every day for other reasons.
حسناً و نعم ولكن الحياة لإفادة التعظيم والتكثير.
You know, حياة. Allah didn't say الحياة. حياة to indicate abundance and abundance and greatness.
ولما كان هذا الحكم لا يعرف حقيقته إلا أهل العقول الكاملة والألباب الثقيلة خصهم بالخطاب دون غيرهم. الله أكبر.
He says, and Allah, because this ruling cannot truly be understood except by people of wide intellect, right mind, the people of right intellect, then Allah addressed them in particular in this ayah, besides others. Because Allah says at the end of the ayah, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. O people of understanding, you will understand the wisdom behind that. The average person will always object. Why this barbaric ruling? Why so on and so forth? How come Islam allows this? And if you ever hear this from a Christian, huh? Just email me. And I will send you an email with all of the penal codes in the Old Testament where execution is to be carried out against one who sleeps with an animal. Bestiality they call it. Against one who speaks with his parents undutifully. If somebody curses his parents in the Bible, he is to be killed. If someone doesn't observe the Sabbath in the Bible, he is to be killed. If someone sleeps with his neighbor's wife in the Bible, he is to be killed. And the list goes on. So they have maybe four times what we have in Islam. But they don't know their Bible, so they complain. Say, why you have that? Say, listen, you have a problem? Here's what you have. Here's what you have. So we are better than you now. Okay, so either you accept Islam or you're girgir katir. And you know, that is not going to get you anywhere. Right? So we always have something to say to them. They can never ever put us down. You see, that's what you do understand. When you're involved in da'wah, never will a kafir will be able to put you down. Because if you have the truth, now if you don't know the truth, yes, they will smash you. Because of the shaitan will whisper things to them and they will say, you know, speech, adorned speech that sounds very fancy, but it's nothing, it's like dust. But if you have the truth, they can never deal with it. We always have some answer that removes the misconception and that clarifies the truth, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. And of course this is based on the Qur'an, you know, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْنَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ صَاحِبٌ. Nay, rather we fling the truth against falsehood, so it smashes it. Let's look at the wording. The truth, when you fling it against the falsehood, it smashes it. فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ, and then the falsehood will demolish. It will be gone. وَلَكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَصِفُونَ, and woe to you from that which you ascribe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which does not befit His Majesty. نعم. Yeah, I know you want to say something, yeah, Sheikh. Hey. وهذا يدل على أن الله تعالى يحب من عباده أن يعملوا أفكارهم وعقولهم في تدبر ما في أحكامه من الحكم والمصالح الدالة على كماله وكمال حكمته وحمده وعدله ورحمته الواسعة. In this is an indication that Allah عز وجل loves from His slaves to ponder with their minds and their intellect upon His rulings, and the wisdom behind the rulings and the benefits that we attain, or that they indicate, that they are indicative of, that indicate Allah's perfection and the perfection of Allah's wisdom, Allah's praise, Allah's justice, and Allah's encompassing vast mercy. وَأَنَّ مَنْ كَانَ بِهَذِهِ الْمَثَابَةِ فَقَدْ اسْتَحَقَّ الْمَدْحَ بِأَنَّهُ مِنْ ذَوِي الْأَلْبَابِ, and whoever is at that degree, that status, then he deserves to be praised by Allah, that he is among the people of intellect, the people of right understanding. الَّذِي وُجِّهَ إِلَيْهُمُ الْخِطَابُ وَنَادَاهُمْ رَبُّ الْأَرْبَابِ, the one who were addressed in this particular statement, and they were called by the Lord of everything. وَكَفَى بِذَلِكَ فَضْلًا وَشَرَفًا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, and plenty is that, or sufficient is that, as virtue and honor for people of understanding. So that means that when you come across something in Islam, a ruling in Islam, which does not make sense to you, okay, you don't understand, you know, how could this be, then reflect upon it. Sit down, take out a piece of paper, and write down the pros and the cons. You know, what possible benefit could be from that? Write it down. You know, and write down what you consider to be negative, and then reflect upon that, or take it to a scholar who will explain to you that actually this thing you consider to be a con is not. You know, this is not a negative point, rather this is a positive point because such and such and such. And he may give you other points in such a way where what you had previously thought was not suitable will become suitable. So then, but if you take that time to reflect, then you are doing what Allah told you. And if you seek Allah's guidance, Allah shall guide you to the understanding. The problem is that people become arrogant and he think he's Mr. All That. My mind doesn't accept it. Khalas, there's something wrong with that. And we've heard this from individuals who are, you know, who don't have, you know, they're not grounded in knowledge. And so, you know, even some of them, those who debate with the Christians, I saw one of them and heard them with my own ears. Saw my own eyes, heard them with my own ears. He's a very good debater. But, you know, when they presented to him a hadith in Bukhari, he rejected it in front of everybody, which was very bad for the da'wah. Because the one he was debating with knew that Muslims consider Sahih Bukhari the most authentic book after the Book of Allah. And he knows that we follow the Quran and the Sunnah. So that destroyed the whole debate. For the speaker, for his opponent, and for the audience who now look at this Muslim as, you know, whatever. So had this brother been humble and said the truth and accepted the hadith of Bukhari, which was quoted, even if it seems to be against him, and tried to explain the wisdom behind it, that would have been far better than rejecting it. Because his mind wasn't able to rationalize. He wasn't able to understand the hadith in the context of some of the ayat. So he gave precedence to the ayat over the hadith. And as such, he negated and rejected the hadith. So, you know, this happens to even those involved in da'wah. We need to be very careful, you know, how we conduct ourselves when we give a da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْلُهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, perhaps you may attain mercy. عَفْوًا, perhaps you may attain taqwa. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ مَنْ عَرِفَ رَبَّهِ وَعَرِفَ مَا فِي دِينِهِ وَشَرْعِهِ مِنَ الْأَسْرَارِ الْعَظِيمَةِ وَالْحِكَمِ الْبَدِيعَةِ وَالْآيَاتِ الرَّفِيعَةِ أَوْجَبَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَنْقَادَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَيُعَظِّمَ مَعَاصِيهِ فَيَتْرُكَهَا فَيَسْتَحِقَّ بِذَلِكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ.
The Sheikh said the reason why Allah said that perhaps you may be among the muttaqeen if you do all of these is because the one who truly knows his Lord, his Rabb, and he knows that what Allah's religion, Allah's deen, way of life, and his legislation contains from great secrets and wonderful wisdoms and fine signs, ayat, whether the ayah from the Quran or the signs and the proofs and the evidences, this will necessitate that the person will submit to the command of Allah. He will surrender to the command of Allah. And he will magnify sins, so he will abandon it. Meaning he will magnify the reality of sinning and disobeying Allah, so he will abandon it. And with that he will be deserving of being considered among the muttaqeen. He will deserve, يستحق بذلك أن يكون من المتقين. He deserves thereupon to be considered among the muttaqeen. So with that, inshallah ta'ala, we will conclude. Next week, bismillah, if we all remain alive, we'll be dealing with verses 180, 181, and 182, bismillah, azza wa jalla, if we all remain alive. Wa akhru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Na'am.
Example that you are pardoning the giver, pardoning without any amount of money. So what will be gonna be his punishment in the hereafter?
Well, the we have the ayah in Surah Al-Furqan. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا until the end of the ayah. In that ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the one who does that he فسوف يلقون عفوا what was the سيف القون غيا in the other surah I just said it. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. The bottom line is that there will be a severe punishment in the life to come unless they repent. So if someone wants to do that and they repent, then tawbah erases everything. And we have the hadith we were just quoting in our morning class. Alhamdulillah, that's the benefit of just even reading, because you get to bring relation between the teachings of Islam. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. The one who killed 199 souls, then asked about the most nazir person, that he wound up killing 100, and Allah accepted his tawbah, right? And he went to Jannah without doing any good deeds, just because he repented to Allah, and he was traveling towards the city of righteousness. So then, if the person repents, khalas. If he doesn't repent, then I believe in Surah An-Nisa, Allah mentioned what He has prepared for those who kill. You know that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will. I wish I had the ayah memorized. It's in Surah An-Nisa. I will tell it to you just so we can, so it will be upon clarity, inshallah. Oh, I wasn't recording that part. So the ayah is Surah An-Nisa, verse 93. وَمَن يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Whosoever kills a believer deliberately, then his reward will be the hellfire abiding therein, and Allah's wrath shall be upon him, and Allah's curse, and Allah has prepared for him a painful torment, a great punishment. Wallahu ta'ala alam. 93 Surah Al-Nisa. But again, we have to understand this ayah and the light of the other ayah. So we don't take one ayah and we just, get... The one in Surah Al-Furqan, the one I quoted earlier, explains this particular ayah. That the one who repents, then this is not the case anymore. Okay? The one who repents, this is not the case anymore. And, there's more detail among the ulama which is not...
Regarding that money,
Allahu alam. I don't know. But I hope none of you brothers is intending on killing anyone. That's why you're asking all these questions, man. Right? Nobody's bothering you, Abdul Aziz, right? Everything's good? No, I don't know actually the amount. Allahu alam.
Because in the family of Sheikh's blood money, is there any fixed amount?
Allahu alam. The Sheikh didn't mention it, I have no knowledge of it. طيب
سبحانك اللهم الحمد لله لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.